139, 1 through 6, and 13 through 18. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your words. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God, how vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Rachel introduced us to the prophet Jeremiah last week, and that's where this morning's scripture reading comes from, further on in that book, chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord: come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me: can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done, says the Lord? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation, concerning which I have spoken, turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intended to bring on it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. God, as we hear your word, shape us to your purpose. Inspire us with your spirit and guide us to be the people that you want us to be. Guide us to the people and the places that work your will in us. We are ready to be your servants and disciples. In Christ's name, amen. It was seventh grade, I'm pretty sure. Art class at Memorial Junior High School. This was back in the dark ages when things like homeroom and art classes and physical education were still a part of everyone's daily routine. And in that art class, we were introduced to all sorts of different techniques, not just paint, but collage and macrame and even clay. Now, the clay experiment is the one that stands out. I'm sure we had a good deal of instruction from the teacher, but all I remember is being handed a lump of clay and told to create something with it. My initial plan was to fashion a horse out of it, but the horse kept falling over or collapsing in on itself. And what I ended up with was a hippopotamus. An ugly, misshapen hippopotamus. The art teacher was trying to be encouraging, and she told us we could glaze our creations and then fire them in the kiln to take home and present to our parents. I have no idea why, but my parents kept that hideous hippopotamus for years on an eye-level shelf in the study. I don't think they were mocking me on purpose. I think they were genuinely trying to be supportive by displaying this treasure I had made. it just looked to me like failure. Now, I don't beat myself up about that. Everyone has a different outlet. Cooks create masterpieces out of ingredients. Musicians express themselves with tunes. Interior designers work with floor plans. Animal trainers entice dogs to behave, which is another area in which I am failing spectacularly. In October, we'll showcase the work of some of New Providence's visual artists, photographers and painters and woodworkers, even potters. I admire their talents, but I accept that those gifts are just not mine. My medium is words, and I'm content with that. I hope you feel the same about yourself and your gifts. Blessedly, that hippo disappeared when my parents downsized after I graduated from college. But every time I hear Jeremiah's story about the potter and the clay, it pricks my memory. I have always admired potters. It is such a beautiful art form. Watching the wheel spin as a lump of clay evolves into a beautiful vase or bowl or chalice. But since I've never attempted it myself, this week I talked to several friends who are potters and asked them to describe the process. And mostly they talked about how much time and effort it requires. It begins with a lump of clay, which is kneaded to remove all the air bubbles. If there are air pockets in the final product, it will explode in the kiln. And so kneading, or what potters call wedging, is the process that removes those tiny pinpricks or cavities of air. That process may need to be repeated 20 or 40 or even 100 times. When the wedge is ready, the potter literally throws the clay onto the center of the wheel so that it will stick. The throw may not be perfect, and so there may be some scooching involved once the wheel is started. But when the clay is centered, the potter begins very slowly to push down with her thumbs to drop a hole into the center. Then with one hand inside and one outside, she begins to open it up and pull up the edges of the pot. What I would never have guessed is how difficult this work is. Potters tell me that you have to lock your body, tuck your elbows to your thighs, and lean into the clay without putting too much pressure on it until everything is perfectly centered and spinning on the wheel. Imagine the master artisan at work in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis 2, God takes clay to sculpt and form humankind from the dust of the earth. It is hard work. God's hands knead and smooth the moist dirt and then breathes life into us. We human beings are grounded in the earth and animated by the very breath of God. Now, I watch potters at work and think, I could do that. To be fair, I watch Rory McIlroy hit a perfect drive off the first tee on the old course at St. Andrews and think, I could do that too. In neither case is it true. Like all crafts, pottery takes time and practice, and you have to know what you're working with. As an example, this week Rachel Gibson explained to me that clay has memory. For instance, say that just as you're finishing your bowl, you reach across it to pick up a towel, and your elbow knocks the edge and bends it just a little. You can start the wheel again and fix that. You can make it look right. But once you fire the bowl, it will come out of the kiln with that bent edge on it because the clay has memory. It remembers the flaw. I think that's what's going on in this reading from Jeremiah this morning. Jeremiah says there is a flaw in Israel, that the vessel was spoiled in the potter's hand. And if it is fired in this condition, the flaw will be baked into it forever and ever. But here's the thing. Until clay has been fired, it can be thrown and rethrown and rethrown and shaped and reshaped time and time again. Clay is a material of infinite possibility, moldable and flexible and responsive. So if the potter is not satisfied with the vessel, which is what Jeremiah seems to be saying, it can be remolded until it's right. You are the potter, the song says. We are the clay. And no matter what misshapen contours our lives may take, we are never beyond redemption. God is always able to form and shape us into what we were intended to be. Now, in Jeremiah's case, the potter is unhappy with the product and literally picks up the whole pot, smushes it back into a ball, wedges and kneads it, and starts all over again. The potter is in no hurry. She throws the wedge onto the wheel and starts forming and reforming, coaxing the clay into the shape she has in mind. Better to start all over than settle for something flawed. Isn't that exactly what God is asking through the prophet? Can I not do the same with you, O house of Israel? Just like clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. When Israel does not live up to its covenant with God, the master potter comes up with a masterful solution. Knead it, wedge it, and start all over again. Now, the process is neither gentle nor pretty, to be sure. If you've ever been in a potter's studio, you know how messy it can be, with water and mud and clay flung all over the place. And so maybe this is the place to say that if your life feels messy, if you feel like you have mud and spit and tears flung all over the place, let me remind you that that's not a terrible place to be. I get it. It feels like chaos. But maybe God is reshaping your life into something better than you could ever imagine. Let me offer one final story from the world of pottery. Michelle Rudisill told me that some years back she took a few pottery classes, and like every skill, she got better with time, and by the third year, she felt like she was getting somewhere. She'd made a bowl she was really pleased with. She kept working at it, and after several weeks, she thought it was almost finished. When she went into the studio to make final adjustments, she put the bowl on the wheel, set to work, and the bowl went flying off onto the floor. Her perfect round bowl was dented to look something more like a football. Now, you've been there, right? Nothing you planned came out like what you expected. Our best hopes and dreams end up smushed on the floor of the studio or the classroom or the living room. Michelle said she was already inventing new cuss words when her instructor came over and said, "Okay, hang on, take a deep breath. You're really good at making handles," the instructor said. "How about if you make a couple of handles for this and we fire it that way?" And here's how it ended up. Michelle says it's her favorite piece of pottery she's ever made. So if life doesn't look like what you thought it might, don't give up hope. Stick a couple of handles on it. Adapt. Flex. Maybe God has something better in mind, even if it bears little resemblance to what you thought it might be. Just like clay in the potter's hand, God says, so are you in my hand. Let us pray. God, take the clay of our lives and shape it to love. Take the clay of the church and shape it to grace. Take the clay of the world and shape it to peace. Take the clay of today and shape it to hope. and then breathe your spirit into it all over again, forever and ever. Amen.